Officially calling the informal ANC 1D meeting to order, October 6, 2009. Commissioners present, McKay, Lepanto, Bosselman, and Scott. We have a quorum. Time 7:11 p.m. We have a few business matters to conduct. Jack?
Well, we could start with the public discussion.
Okay, you want to go with the public discussion first? That's fine. We're opening up the floor for public discussion. We can take it in an orderly fashion, starting the microphone at one point and going across. And I don't have a timer, so I'm going to guess at what 3 minutes will be. Who wants to go first?
Does anybody have anything to say?
Yes,
Eleanor.
Hi, my name is Eleanor Hart. Oh, sorry, my name is Eleanor Hart. And I think it's really important that we get the Doeville across the street fixed. And I have a petition here that most of you have signed. And if you haven't, I hope you will sign it. And I hope if you're a member of any group, you'll get your group to draft a resolution and send it to the mayor, send it to Jim Graham, send it to the deputy mayor for economic development, send it to the city administrator, and send it to Kwame Brown. We should follow and see when it will be important to let you know that we really want it done.
Juan Carlos.
Good evening. My name is Juan Carlos Ruiz, and I'm one of the spokespersons for the Latino Association of Mount Pleasant. Once again, we are respectfully asking for agendas to be sent out ahead of time, a week ahead of time, of the meetings. I know this is a sore spot, but it is critical that we do have that. Especially for the association, yesterday we were trying to get, we had a meeting here, and we were trying to identify what issues to talk about for the next official business of the ANC, and it was a little bit difficult to for us to develop a plan that can help us work that way. So, I have spoke with five associations, and they are all in favor of this. You will receive a letter from us encouraging you to please provide an agenda in Spanish and English announcing the next meetings. Yes, David.
I think for this meeting that we actually did have an agenda on the web, and we have an agenda posted all over Mount Pleasant. It says that this meeting is to discuss the corridor, the commercial corridor, discuss the businesses, and to discuss issues important to the Latinos. I've seen that on many posts, and I've seen that online. So this time, as opposed to a lot of other times, we did have an agenda.
Jack?
Just me on the volume here, that's too high. Okay. Try the one on the left. That looks like it's too high. All the way. No, not that one. That's the wireless. The one on the left. There you go. Okay. To take an example, I mean, I have wrestled with this problem for my entire 6+ years of how to put together an agenda which will be useful. Now, to take an example, we discovered on Friday that Don Jaime's and Pupusaria were going to be called to ABC board tomorrow. We got the information on what the charges were, the inspector's reports, yesterday. How can we possibly put together an agenda a week ahead of time when we don't know what's going to come up and we are going to have to do it? Similarly, on the library, it was last Thursday that the HBRB met and agreed that we had until the 13th. Yeah. So we don't know ourselves what is going to be on an agenda. And if we try to put together an agenda which is missing items because we don't know what's going to come up, then we'll be putting out an agenda which is misleading. Because if it's incomplete, that implies that what's not on the list will not be brought up. So, I'm sorry. I appreciate your position. I understand your position. I sympathize with your position. But in all my years on this ANC, it has simply never been possible to put together an agenda a week ahead of time.
So can I finish my comment?
Excuse me. Before we go any further, I'd like to ask those that have cell phones to silence them, please. Put them on vibrate. Thank you.
Thank you. So, just to be clear, the way we see the mission, and I'm not going to define your job, but the way we see the mission of the ANC is to lead the community and help us lead the community. I understand there are issues, and we understand the issues that are going to come up in the last minute. And that's great. We can put emergency items, all right? But that can be parallel to the fact that it can be issues like the issue today is specifically targeted, and we are all are prepared for that. So we understand, Jack, that there are issues that will come up in the last minute, and we need to deal with those because that's affect our community. But at some point, we need to start looking at those in a more progressive way. What we want to move within the Latino Association is move from reacting to acting and be more proactive about the issues that are affecting to us. We need to know from other, and we will figure out how we need to deal with the ABC board to make sure that those things don't come to us 1, 2, 3 days ahead of time. I don't know what we need to do, and we're going to investigate about that. But things like that, they're emergency. We understand we need to put an emergency things. But at some point, if we start telling all the different groups what the agenda items are going to be coming up ahead of time, it will help us a lot in the work of the local groups too. That's one issue. So, and thank you for noticing that today it was an agenda. That helped us a lot to see us. And the reason I brought it up today is because one of the ANC council members called me and said there are other items that are going to be put in the agenda today. And now we say, what items are those, all right? And now we don't know. So it needs to be a process that we can know ahead of time what items are going to be discussed so we can be prepared, well prepared, to support the work that you do. And I don't know if that's true, maybe I don't know what it is. The second component, is that we noticed that the website you have, perhaps I'm not very good with computers, but perhaps I missed the button that says Spanish, where we can see what the items, there is no translation to Spanish or nothing there. So you can help me with that, that would be great. And the third component is, we are very thankful that we have translations in these meetings, and we hope, hope is an understanding that all meetings will have translations available for all the residents that come to these hearings. We want to ensure that these hearings have more captive audience. And part of that, ensuring translation is helpful, ensuring that there's an agenda so we can be prepared and we can prepare our leadership is helpful. And third is bringing materials in English and Spanish is also helpful. Moving to the second point of the agendas for the Latino Association, is we are seeing that there's a number of issues around traffic and parking in the community. We will be asking the department, the DOT, to do, and Jack mentioned to me today, that to do a quick survey about what is the parking scenarios for the area between 16th Street and Park Road and 16th Street and 18th Street. We need to do that because we have done a survey And it looks like to us that there's specific spaces that are not being utilized properly. The signage is not being properly put together. The signage and the meters are not properly put together. So people get tickets because the signage and the meter doesn't say the time when you're supposed to be parking in those meters. And the painting and the streets are not clear. I almost got hit by a car crossing Lamont Street there. I see a lot of parents with the children crossing that street and cars going the speedway. So we need to have a very strategic plan for traffic. So the first thing we're going to do is ask for a DDT or DDOT survey, and we hope that we can come with support for that. Department of Transportation, thank you. The last piece is the meeting around the library, and I know Greg is not here. The Latino Association is very concerned that the expansion of the library is not exploring the possibilities of strengthening the security of the tenants and the buildings that are behind the library by doing an expansion that perhaps needs to be reconsidered. We support expansion, we want the expansion, but we want to make sure that that expansion doesn't put in more risks the people that live in those apartment buildings in case that there's a fire. And have said that, also understanding that there's the projection for the library to move tentatively to the building and Canyon and 16th Street and with the empty spot is there. We will hope that there are specific plans to renovate at least that area and make it more inviting to our community when you do that renovation. Thank you.
I guess not.
Okay, am I being recorded? Is my voice? Okay. I guess we'll stop at public discussion and visit it again when Greg comes back, Faye. Okay. All right. Now, Jack, do we want to do these? I see you have the treasurer's report on here.
Well, let's start with the secretary's report. I think that would be trivial.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I went right on past the secretaries since they're both you.
Yes.
Okay.
Just a matter of the minutes of the September 15th meeting, which I would like to have approved so that I can send those in along with the quarterly financial report. Are there any corrections for that set of minutes?
Phil?
To my understanding, these are, and I think the neighborhood views these as informal meetings. I think we really need, and we've talked about this before, in other circumstances, but conducting regular business during informal business meetings, I don't think should be the norm. And we're starting to get into that rhythm. So for that reason, I'm going to object to passing the minutes for last business meeting and call for a vote.
Okay. Dave?
Yeah, before we were saying that unless there's an emergency, we really wouldn't be doing business in the informal meeting. And I agree that things that aren't under the banner of emergency, that we have to do something right now, can't wait for 2 weeks, should be held.
Okay. Jack, do you want to voice your opinion in on this?
Yeah, these are really just trivial items. Otherwise, I wouldn't bring them up. I would like to get the quarterly financial report in promptly just to set a continuing record of prompt delivery of quarterly reports, which is why I would love to have this considered at this time, approved at this time along with the minutes, just so that I can file that this week.
Okay. Well, and my opinion is I don't see anything wrong with just going on and doing this so he can get the quarterly reports. I however, agree that we did decide that this would be an informal meeting. But if it's just to okay this so he can get the quarterly report in, I don't see a problem with that. Okay, so all those in favor of the secretary's report being submitted as is? We have 3-1.
Is that a no vote?
And one abstention.
3-1 abstention. Okay, thank you. Then the treasurer's report. Again, this is just a routine business matter. This shows our summary for the quarter. $4,294 received.
How much?
$4,295 received from the D.C. government. We spent $150 in La Casa rent. We spent $2,349 in services. We spent $535 for others. A total of $3,035. For the quarter. And I should just note that this does balance appropriately with the checkbook. This is a list of the checks written. Divided by category. I think it's all pretty straightforward. I have also compiled this summary of documents. These are all the documents that will be submitted as part of the quarterly report, including bank statements, the check images, a summary of the contractor's assignments, invoices, receipts, and meeting minutes. All this is part of the report for the fourth quarter of fiscal year 2009. If this is acceptable, I should like to be able to turn this in to the auditor later this week.
Does anyone have any objections, any questions? All those in favor of submitting. Sorry?
Where can we find this report?
Is this on the website?
You will be able to find this on the Mount Pleasant Forum. This is my usual place for posting resolutions, minutes, and all of our paperwork is on the Mount Pleasant Forum, not on an AZ1D site, unfortunately, but on the Mount Pleasant Forum.
All those in favor accepting the treasurer's report as submitted? 4-0.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Okay, I think in honor of what we said about business that we can go ahead on, I think we do need to address the two issues of Don Jaime and the library.
Can we do that after the community meeting?
The community meeting? Oh. Okay, well.
I'm going back and looking at my notes and realized that I didn't check with the commission on the checks which I intend to write today. Just want to see if there is, I want to be sure that you are aware of these and make sure there is no objection to them.
I think you posted these on the email.
Yes,
Everyone's seen them.
With the possible exception of William Butler of $690 that was late. I assume that there is no objection to my making these payments, and there will also be $50 for our interpreter this evening.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Okay.
So can we take care of the emergency resolutions after the community meeting?
That's fine with me.
Note that 731 Greg Garage.
Okay, so where we want to start?
And sober.
With this? I would like, if I could, to start with the matter of Don Jaime's restaurant.
Okay.
Resolved.
Well, I would like to do these emergency resolutions after the community meeting because that's what the community is here for.
Well, we can go back. Okay. Greg is here now, and we can go back to the library issue, but we were having the community meeting when we were asking anybody did they have anything further that they wanted to say, and no one did. So, Greg, can you just give me that, and I can just pass it around so you can come in place, please, so we can get started with you in phase. This is an open forum to discuss all subjects and anything that you all would like to discuss. Dave?
Yes, this meeting was a special community informal meeting to discuss Mount Pleasant Street and the businesses and how we can either help the businesses or get new ones. And unfortunately, all these little pieces of business seem to creep in, and I was just suggesting we take care of them after we have the community meeting.
Well, I think our usual procedure is to dispose of the emergency matters and then move on to...
Well, I don't know whose usual procedure that is, but I would think that would be entirely backwards for having a community meeting. They can leave. They don't have to stay on for our resolutions.
Greg?
I would like to, I think one of the prime goals, at least as long as I've been here, has been to encourage participation by our neighbors in these meetings. So I would just like to favor that we at least allow people a chance to speak completely and on any topic that they wish. Perhaps I've already missed that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now, we should be at talking about Mount Pleasant Commercial Corridor.
And I'll remind you that we've got to go back to Faye. Faye wanted to speak, but she wanted to wait till Greg got back, and that was part of the open discussion when we were talking. And that's where we're going to go back to. We're going to start there, and then we can go here to the open discussion further about the commercial corridor.
I think everyone knows my name is Faye Armstrong and I'm president of Historic Mount Pleasant. Greg and I attended the hearing last week at the Historic Preservation Review Board on the library, as a result of which Greg...
Hey, can I take you to stand up so I can see you next to me?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Apologize.
It's on, but watch out for this speaker. You don't want to be too close to it.
Anyway, we had a hearing last week in the Historic Preservation Review Board on the latest and not very much revised proposal for the addition and the renovation of our branch library. As a result of Greg's intervention, the chairman of the board has extended until noon on the 13th of October a comment period for ANCs only on the proposed addition. I testified at the hearing last week, and I raised a number of concerns about the current design. We have tried to work with the library to improve the design. We've succeeded substantially, but we've not succeeded entirely. And we still find the proposed addition incompatible, which is the term of art that enables Historic Preservation Review Board to seek other changes in the design. So I'm here happy to answer any questions. If I gather a proposal has been floated amongst the commissioners to respond to this opportunity that Chairman Boasberg has created for you, and I urge you to take advantage of this opportunity because there's much to be said about the proposed addition from a design standpoint, which is the scope of review before the Historic Preservation Review Board. The concerns that Juan Carlos raised about the about the impact on neighboring buildings, the concerns I know that many people in the neighborhood have about the ramp, the concerns that, you know, others have raised, I mean, those can all be addressed in terms of the design that has been presented. So I would urge the commissioners, and I'm happy to talk with you about any, you know, answer any questions. If I can help you come to a strong resolution requesting design intervention and assistance from HPRB to change what they had before them, I'm at your service, and I'm just here for that general purpose.
Okay. Now we're going on to the rest of the commercial quarter. Commercial quarter. Who wants to speak first?
My name is Cheryl Berger, and I noticed the posting that this meeting concerned the commercial district and its revitalization. That's what I'm here, and it's also noted in that agenda on the lamppost, which is a great place to have these things, that there's an issue among the Latinos, or notably Latino issues. I want to know what they are. I really would like to know what is behind the calling of this meeting, who called it, why, and also my thoughts are that we need to know where everyone is on the revitalization of Mount Pleasant Street, and if we don't know what it is, I think we need to start planning a new vision for the area. I think the plan is old. Many new people have come into the neighborhood. Things have changed. And so that's why I'm here at the meeting. Can someone tell me who called? Why is it on the agenda?
Greg?
This meeting was ordained at the beginning of the year, back in January, as part of a pattern of two meetings a month, with the intention that we would take up emergency matters arising in this meeting because we were very active in responding to things, but that we would attempt to use the meeting primarily, in most cases, as a way to invite people in to discuss current issues. At our last meeting, the speaker for the Mount Pleasant Latino Association, who is Juan Carlos Ruiz, suggested that we should have a deeper discussion of a lot of current issues, and particularly those around the commercial corridor, although there were some others. In keeping with that, then we decided to focus on that, plus as keeping with our usual plan, which we passed in January, that the floor would be open to matters arising. Is that satisfactory as an answer?
Yes, it is satisfactory to me. However, I don't see the Mount Pleasant Business Association, neither do I see Mount Pleasant Main Street here. Makes me curious. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak? Phil?
Cheryl, I just have a couple questions. Are you aware of the small area plan operation? I think in a lot of ways, my hope was that this meeting would allow us to sort of continue that discussion, although not replace it. I do think that that is an ongoing process that has yielded a lot of important feedback from the community. And is really looking to engage all elements of the community. I know they've spoken with those groups that you mentioned at length, as well as other groups. So I think to the extent that that is an ongoing process, I encourage you to stay on top of that. I think you are.
Juan Carlos?
So, just to be clear, we want to talk a little bit about
Apologize. So just to be clear, we're going to talk about the revitalization in Mount Pleasant and the Latino issues that we spoke at the last meeting, correct? All right. So we are very thankful that Tarek Bolden has been very open to outreach to the Latino community and has been sensitive to the concerns that we raise. And as we move forward with the implementation of the recommendations that the Office of Planning might come out with, I would like to suggest that ANC to bring those experts that did the study on Mount Pleasant and how the impact that it has had. The whole study that they did, the whole report that they presented, I think will be good that more people hear about that. And besides the folks that came to the school that day, and we need to find a way to expand that to not only the business owners but to the communities itself. And our point of view, from the Latino Association point of view. We always have the sense that it's the undocumented and Latino community that was the financial, or the economic force in the maintaining and the development of the businesses here in Mount Pleasant. And my understanding of that study, that report, is that is true. I think that will help us in strengthening the presence of Latino residents in creating more ownership about the development that we need to put for the Mount Pleasant corridor. So that's a recommendation or a request that we are putting forward. And we can be creative how we can do that. The second element here is as we move forward with the implementation of this plan, we want to offer our support to provide bilingual services and whenever it's needed, and we also want to figure it out a way that is not 4 or 5 meetings in 1 week. This week the Latino Association is going to have 5 meetings, and next week I'm sure I'm going to be graduating with my doctorate and going to meetings, man. And I don't want to have that, all right? I really don't. I didn't run for office to do that. All of us are doing this on a volunteer basis. But we need to find a way that we can, you know, we had a Latino Association meeting, today's meeting, it's another meeting tomorrow, it's another meeting on Thursday, it's another meeting on Saturday. We got to avoid this type of continual meetings for different things in the community. And so we can work together, all right? It's just incredible. The other aspect here is in regard to the revitalization. It has become to our attention that there is a mural coming up there. And we met with the artist yesterday, and we gave some of a visualization of what we would like to see in the mural. But, you know, I have the sense that sometimes the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And who is leading us to connect all those efforts in the city and in our neighborhood? We look at you, the ANC members, to be guiding us on that. And And we hope that we can strengthen that, because how the mural fits into the work that we're doing with the revitalization of the corridor plan. Now we know that it's moving this build, the library is going to move here. And now, how we can benefit by that move, besides the fact that they are going to move here, the library temporarily, how we can benefit from that in a way that when they leave, we don't have the owner having that empty, nasty space around for 2 more years, because he's rich and doesn't want to sell the property, even though he has been approached from 5 different groups. I have 3 investors, they are friends of mine, they are Latinos, they have approached him. I approached him to have a meeting. They didn't even return the phone calls. So that type of behavior we cannot tolerate if we want to maintain, develop this corridor. The other aspect here is, even though Tarek Bolden mentioned that his plan is only focusing to the business, we need to think about the housing stock here and how this housing is going to be affected with this development. Now, I'm not talking about 5 years from now, I'm talking about now. I just learned that another building is being bought out by investors, and 57 Latino families are going to be living, mostly Latinos are going to be living on Park Road in the next few months. So those type of issues, I think, is connecting housing to the businesses is critical for us. So now we're talking about doing parking, all right? How we want to improve parking and traffic in the area. We got to have a plan also that comes connected to this plan that the Office of Planning is going to come. And we don't have that. And so these folks can come out with one plan, and we are doing another thing with the other hand. Finally, is we're coming, elections are coming. Next elections are next year in November. And that is a plus. It could be a plus if we are strategic how we use that to our benefit, if we work together. The main complaint I got from the city is that Mount Pleasant doesn't know what they want. You put an idea, and 50 people come with different ideas, and there's not togetherness. So I am going to ask you, our ANC leaders, to lead us in a different path of unity. We are the associations, our meeting, we have one meeting now, we're planning another meeting to try to work together and to develop an agenda that presented to you. So if we can do it, I'm sure you guys can do it. So those are for now elements that we just encourage you to think it through. Housing and the final thing, this is very small, and I shut up with this, is I requested in the last meeting, and I hope somebody can pick it up and implement it. Communication is critical. Not all Latino brothers and sisters, and African Americans too, have access to the internet. And I'm learning how to use the Mount Pleasant, what's the name, Jack?
Forum.
I'm learning how to get there and how to work through that. So I imagine the most of my folks do not know how to go or do not have that. So I have requested the last time, and I'm going to request it again, please allocate some funding, and we can come up with a plan for you for the next meeting if you wish. So we can have 3 places in the community, in Mount Pleasant Street, or in the 3 different districts, however it is. There are bulletin boards. The people can, we can put jobs, openings, opportunities for works, meetings. They can be bilingual. You guys have passed a resolution to have 21. Let's start with 3, and then we can implement later on more and more. I understand there is money in the, and hopefully it's money in the budget. So we have that. Let's invest that will help us tremendously in communication, which is going to be critical when we implement plans for the corridor.
Dave. There's an awful lot of good ideas in that, Juan. I would like first to clarify what the main job of the ANC is, which is to listen to the residents, to know what's going on in the neighborhood, to know what the problems are, and what some of the resolutions that the residents feel should be used, and then communicate these to the right agencies in D.C. or in the federal government so that there is communication. That is our chief. We're an advisory board, and we advise the government. We are not a local government. So there is a difference there. We do work on housing. We do have our own ideas and all this, but that's not our prime function. So we also work with all the other groups in Mount Pleasant to get some of these things done. Jack has great ideas on parking. Greg has a vision on housing. Phil, what is your bailiwick? Bikes? No, not more than bikes. So we all have our job is not to determine what's going to happen here. It's to advise the government that this is what the residents want. This is what they need.
Perhaps I'll ask what her bailiwick is so that she's not passed over.
I don't feel passed over. I'm never passed over. I know how to speak up for myself. Mine is just treating everybody equally. Exactly, exactly. We have any further comments?
Oh, I'm sorry, I want to pass your hand. Do you want to?
Go ahead.
I think about as far as the plan, the commercial corridor, economic development plan that was presented. I think we need, that's sort of a concept, and I understand the business, from what I understand, the business association is not opposed to the concept, but what we need is a work plan to follow the concept so that, they have some recommendations. Those recommendations are going to cost money. We need a budget for the recommendations, and so we need to press. I don't know who asked for the plan, but whoever asked for the plan needs to ask for a work plan to follow it. I just could not believe that our Office of Planning would do a neighborhood area plan without housing. I still can't believe that our Office of Planning, because I know of all the fabulous housing stuff that the D.C. Office of Planning has done. But anyway, I've come to believe it, and as far as housing goes, of course, the absolute first thing I think we have to do, as I said earlier this evening, is the Doeville. We must get the Doeville renovated, and we must get the people back in their homes. And that's going to be hard because it's going to cost a lot of money, and the government will not spend that money unless there is a lot of pressure. So we need to be prepared to put the pressure on the government. Now, I was president of Mount Pleasant Main Street about 5 years ago, and we had a huge big meeting in this very room, and we came up with what we wanted the city to be like in 10 years, which would be 2014, and one of the things, we came up with a description that we would hope would be true in 2014, and one of the things in the description was that we, by preserving the affordable housing on the street, we maintain ethnic and cultural diversity. Now, I think we're in great danger of losing that. And I would suggest that it's great to have these, enormous visions about housing, but what we really need right now is some tenant education. And so I would hope that the Latino Association and the ANC would collaborate on some tenant education. So our tenants, are either people who have just moved here some of them moved from another part of the country, some of them moved from another part of the world, but they have no idea what their rights are. And tenants in this city have really good rights, but they make no difference unless they know about them. So I think tenant education is a really important thing to do.
Great.
Let me answer a few of the things raised. One is that after speaking with Juan Carlos Ruiz and with, I think, Jack and with Dave Wasserman, I have submitted a resolution that I hope is in keeping with our discussion, and it's I'm going to ask that it be considered tonight. And that's part of work, my view of that we work with all the civic groups and try to encourage them to participate in this. I'd like to observe that the small area plan, you asked where did it come from? It came from this body. And it was drastically cut down.
I see.
They never answered our resolution except with their own plan. They have not acknowledged, or they are outside of the law. They're flouting the law in terms of not dealing with this ANC as they legally should. And so we do not have a dialogue with them on why they're ignoring other issues like planning. We do have a dialogue, I have a dialogue, at least, with Tariq Bolden, and we've worked out this issue. One is that they made the choice on their own because they heard from a lot of people about the storefronts. So they made the choice, and I think the ANC may have made a different choice for housing and diversity and the other issues that you described, but they did it without consultation. What they say is that that we can work together on issues like transportation, housing, other elements in conjunction with their plan, and I got a promise from Tariq a couple of weeks ago that he would, if we simply let him fulfill his job, he would work with us on these other issues. Unfortunately, the ANC doesn't have much time or money, it can't afford staff, so if we're going to do it, we're going to require a lot of volunteers to work with us to do that. Just to try to answer your question, that it started with us, and it didn't turn out the way we wanted, and the Office of Planning, like it has in many other issues, has ignored us, ignored the law, they think they're above the law, and only with pressure can we get any kind of small changes. On tenant education, the ANC gave quite a few grants out to local groups that have been working, and it was micro grants. They can't even get back their real expenses, but many of them have done fine work. And it's now a matter of trying to wrap that up and disseminate those results. There are a lot of very specific guides of how they can do various kinds of things.
Desculpame.
So I'm trying to respond to your issues, and I come up. Did I give you a satisfactory answer?
Yes. Well, I certainly know a lot more than when you started, so thanks a lot.
But it's not, the situation is not satisfactory, but I address all your points.
Yes, and thank you for
okay,
the
good.
Appreciate it.
Phil? Going back to what Juan Carlos said earlier, I take interest that you note the proximity of the November elections. As the audience may or may not know, ANC commissioners are elected every 2 years, so we are almost 12 months away from the next election. So definitely look up here if you're not satisfied with what this ANC is doing. I hope that you will give us a run for our money. Those of you who have lived in this neighborhood for more than a couple years may know that there really has not been more than one or two contested ANC elections in the past several years. So I think if we want excellence, we're going to have to get it through competition. There is, as Jack and Dave both pointed out, the ANC is not a neighborhood government, and that is certainly true. We have no real agency within the establishment of the ANC by the district charter. However, the ANC does give us somewhat of a bully pulpit. It does give us somewhat of a bully pulpit, That is to say, we can we can stand and demonstrate the voice of the neighborhood, particularly when the neighborhood agrees. And I think that really takes a lot of leadership and a lot of ability to work with a lot of different groups. And I encourage you all to hold us to that standard and to push us if we're not doing it in the right way. So certainly welcome that.
Would you explain the bully pulpit? It's the cultural object that you are.
Well, I may betray my youth here, but I believe the bully pulpit was something that Theodore Roosevelt described in terms of using his office to speak on issues that were not particularly germane to the legislative or executive matters that he was focusing on. In other words, the president can say something about broccoli and people pay attention. The ANC, I don't think anybody's going to pay attention to a lot of what we said, as Greg so ably notes. Most district agencies don't pay any attention to us whatsoever. But that may be more of what of how we're saying it than it is of what we're saying.
And I really don't think it's so much as to whether they pay attention to what we do after the fact of us doing our job. It's our job to do the advising and put the resolutions out there and represent the people who put us here. But after that fact, we can't say that we haven't done our job if they don't listen to us. And I'd like to say that that's something that's been going on before this commission existed. It's not just that they don't listen to us. They don't listen to no ANCs on a whole. But ANCs still have their job to do, and we are effective. So we need to get out of that negativity that what we do is not effective. It is effective. You know, we do cause trouble in the water. Yes.
I just want to say that, you know, the system of government in D.C. is squeaky wheel, period. And if you want the residents to squeak, you need to let us know. And, you know, we can holler too.
Does anyone else other than Juan Carlos have something to say out there?
We had a meeting yesterday, so we have very clear issues that we need to discuss.
Thank you.
Before people leave, I want to mention that we do have a joint ANC1D Jim Graham meeting on Thursday at the Bell School cafeteria across 16th Street. And there are flyers in Spanish and English available on that.
Okay. Anybody else? Phil?
I mean, recognizing that this is the sort of informal discussion period, and we really want everybody to jump in. In terms of the revitalization and the affordable housing issues that have been brought up, I mean, my own personal view, and I definitely welcome anybody sharing their views with me, is that one of the things that was remarkable about the consultant's report was how resilient the Mount Pleasant Commercial Corridor has been. And I think that it is a real treasure that we have such a strong business community. It can be stronger. There are certainly too many empty storefronts, but I think that we do have a pretty good understanding of, in terms of the academics of the issue, what type of businesses might fit in there. And so I think that to the extent that we can help existing businesses strengthen themselves and we can attract businesses that sort of fit within that local business services type of range, I think we're on track to continue revitalization of the neighborhood. I think everybody realizes that the Deauville standing as a monument to inactivity of our government and, I don't know, other aspects of our community is the blockage in this revitalization plan. Until that building becomes a component part of the street rather than an eyesore, rather than a problem, we're always going to be struggling. Now, in my mind, And I really hope that we all hold Councilmember Graham to this tomorrow. In my mind, the primary issue is how are we going to get this done quickly and efficiently? We do not want this to drag out for years and years and years. And that is, as you said, the squeaky wheel gets the grease in this city. But to the extent that the squeaky wheels are all going off in different directions, makes it all the harder for the government to respond. So to the extent that we can talk about this issue and talk about effective transformation of the street, I think that's good. And I think that this is the right time to do it, because certainly these issues will become more salient as the matter progresses. Juan Carlos mentioned a bit of too much meeting frequency. And I hate to say that there is, although I am proud to say, that there is a meeting of Here Mount Pleasant on Monday the 12th, in which we'll be inviting Blake Biles and Sharif Bolden to come speak about what they're doing in their respective things. So that's here at La Casa, 7 p.m., Monday the 12th.
Okay, I am in total agreement with there is just too many meetings. We got to work on where we can have one great big meeting and resolve these situations, because I'm sure people are tired of having a week of meetings. Greg?
Stormy and I are the co-chairs of the Commercial Corridor Committee that has the responsibility for the ANC to hold other meetings and to talk with people about what can be done. Let me give a quick report on some major ideas that have been coming up lately. One is that the resilience of the commercial quarter, let me just call it the strip, single syllable, seems to be primarily due to a hidden economic force, which is the roughly 4,000 Latinos and other immigrants that are living nearby. They are also the source of through their high ridership and their low ownership of automobiles, of the frequent buses that we have that makes the place really a good place for not owning a car. The second idea is that I know that people that like practical political steps don't take the criticism of patchwork too seriously. I believe that you've got to have practical steps, but they must be within a plan or a larger framework that everybody understands, so that we have a basis to make sure that the steps add up to something coherent and can lead us to substantial breakthroughs. Roughly, the 4,000 people that are in the hidden marketplace will probably be cut down to about 400 in a few years, and maybe even accelerated by if the Office of Planning has a traditional plan, which they seem likely to. Let me give an example of those numbers. Some of you have heard it before. Blake Biles told me, that it looks like that he agreed that with both sides that we need to do something about the Deauville right away, and there's an opportunity to use it to break open some dams and use it as a stair step. He also agrees that the five buildings that he represents and about 10 others that are open to change could be put together in the plan unit development, where we could increase the number of units, and so we could take a large step towards the 4,000 lack of units that we are going to face, and thus the maintenance of our 150-year-old diversity. Specifically, he gave his experience, which is, number one, The Deauville had about 300 people, and it is likely that when the financing and the construction is done, that less than 30 units, 30 households will move in. And they will be screened much more closely so they don't have a lot of population. He also said, so this automatically means that we have a much smaller population. And those are the 30 to 35 that are interested now. In 2 years, they may not be available. They're dropping off very rapidly. But let's take his 30 as an estimate. He says their practice have found that in 5 to 7 years, only about 15% of the people that signed up are there still, because they are subject to other economic forces and they move. And so you put those numbers together and we have certainly less than 10% of the numbers that we start off with. And I think that has been, and that's under good circumstances. So the reduction from 4,000 to 400 is a plausible estimate unless we make other substantial interventions. I talked to Jim Graham about it. Oh, and he says, Blake Biles has said that as part of the last few years, he thinks that he has found more sources are coming available for intervention and that could help us to move to something substantial. Because if we don't move to something substantial and have a larger vision for that, we're just going to muddle through. The finale is that Jim Graham says, told me that we're not going to, in the foreseeable future, get much money. There are other places that are going to get it, which is George Avenue, Sherman Avenue, and other places in the ward that have apparently far greater needs than we do. So he says, if you're going to do any of these things you've been talking about, and he's had me talk to people all over the ward, and we've had lots of meetings, Jack participated in a bunch of those, then we're going to have to find other sources of money. There are other sources of money, but they involve dealing with relaxing the current zoning envelope and putting up public-private structures like extra balconies on Mount Pleasant Street. Those can give several hundred millions of dollars by which we could use to leverage things. My argument is we're faced with a real division, a fork in the road. Either we develop larger practical visions and start to get allies and face taking some substantial steps that will make Mount Pleasant look somewhat different than it has before with low-rise, low-density buildings. Or we lose the diversity of the people that have been here for 150 years. And so it's going to be a big choice between buildings and people.
Can I ask just a brief question? Have you invited Blake and the tenants to the meeting on Thursday?
The invitations are being handled by Jim Graham's office, and I'm sure they're going to do so. I've talked to Jasmine, the president, recently, and she's told me that she's both looking forward to the meeting and in trepidation about it because she feels that many of the points of the remaining residents, I prefer to call them, are not being addressed. That she feels that there is a bad attitude towards her and many of the people that she works closely with, and that many of the points that they are very concerned about will not be addressed because they are viewed as impractical.
Well, Greg, I hope they will be addressed if she's there, but I can promise you if she's not there, they won't be addressed. I think it's so important. I think it's unseemly for us to discuss their home without the tenants there. I just can't believe that we would do that.
Juan Carlos.
Madam Chair, I have high respect for you, and I just want to let you know that every time I speak, I'm speaking on behalf of the Latino Association, as now I am identified as the spokesperson. And while we're doing that, I can assure you that we are doing a strong efforts to do build the capacity of the leadership in our association. And while we do that, we want to strengthen the capacity of the leadership of our community by bringing folks here to first listen. At least that's what my grandma told me once, first listen before you talk. So that's what we're doing here. So it's not that I am trying to overtake the stage, but the association has put some points very clear that I am, at this point, for now, the speaker for them. Thank you. So,
no, I didn't mean that you were trying to take over. I was just playing with you.
Okay.
Trust me.
Keep going on,
okay, no, I didn't mean it as an insult.
Thank
I'm sorry.
That's what the beautiful communicating. You see, it's clear there. Thank you so much. So the next point is about these elements. Mr. Greg and I have different conversations about how these developments need to be happening in the street. And I will assure you that we need to have a short-term plan and long-term plan. And I'm going to build a your name again?
Eleanor.
About what Eleanor said. Well, that is a plan that official planning is coming out. I'm assuming they will come out, and I know they're going to come out with an implementation plan. But that is just a corridor. and I think we need to have a plan for our community, right? And I have not seen anywhere yet a plan how we're going to move our community together. I want to encourage us, let me rephrase that. I would like to invite the ANC to a meeting that we are organizing of leaders in the community to visualize and have a vision of what we see the neighborhood will go. You're welcome to come, welcome not to come, we encourage you to come. And the idea is to see where we're going to go with the community and how our vision is. In a unifying form. That has happened before. I'm glad. But this time we're going to have a strong presence from the Latino Association leaders. They can help us come up with a vision and see how the development of Mount Pleasant neighborhood fits within that vision that represents African American, Latinos, Anglos. And there's not a division west of the Mount Pleasant or east of Mount Pleasant or Anglos or Latinos. We got to have a common vision. That's what we're looking for.
You invited us to the meeting. When is the next meeting?
We will send an invitation to you. We have a meeting this Thursday and this Friday. I'm sorry. We will let you know the date. We need to pick out the date.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to mention that 2 weeks ago, the Mount Pleasant Solar Co-op had a kickoff of 50 residential homes going solar, and that's happened. It is probably, and it is, the only community in the District of Columbia that has gone through the process to establish a cluster of renewable energy, solar energy homes. What we'd like to do, and what you might want to consider, the Duval, with the commercial district, and all of the plans with the organizations, is to remember that renewable energy is cost-effective for the tenants, for the homeowners. You do not have to own a home to be involved, to have solar panels on your building. You can even lease a panel and get the federal credits. So in the planning, I think that it would be beneficial for all of the organizations to put together an alliance, perhaps with some leadership, and that would be one of the components. I would hope that in the future, whenever the legal problems are worked out and the tenants who were displaced by the fire will go back and include in their plan and the reconstruction of that building, that it be a green building.
That might help to get some money.
And I also think that is a niche for the Mount Pleasant Strip. Can you imagine having a commercial district that has energy efficient, has roofs that are cool roofs, that are saving themselves one of our commercial, one of our retailers spends $4,000 a month just in electricity. So it's something to think about, and I would like to suggest, if you're interested in it, join the Mount Pleasant Solar Co-op. There's no membership fee. It is an organization of education. You'll learn a lot, and I think it would be beneficial to Mount Pleasant.
Mi nombre es Martín Iraeta. En referencia a lo que estás diciendo, yo quisiera saber dónde se puede comunicar uno, dónde se puede comunicar para saber dónde está la... Porque hay muchos dueños hispanos que tienen casa y tal vez pueda salir más cómoda la corriente, a pesar que ahorita está muy elevada, que está saliendo al doble. O lo que pagaban $100 de corriente en la casa está saliendo 200, 300.
Mi nombre es Martín Iraeta. I want to build on what you were saying.
Juan Carlos, use the microphone, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, okay. Here, yes, thank you.
My name is Martín Iraeta, and I want to build upon what she was saying. And we would like to know where we can find information about this, because some of the Latino homeowners, they were paying, let's say, $100 in electricity. Now they are paying $200 or $300.
The other point que quería decirle referencia a cómo traer más comercio a esta área. La mayoría de comerciantes se están retirando es por los piquiteros, porque mucha gente hispana venía a comprar comida aquí en el área, venían de Virginia, Maryland, pero apenas no pueden parquear ni 5 minutos cuando ya les ponen 25, 30, $40 de ticket. Entonces toda la gente se está ausentando, las personas que vienen, a comprar de los otros lugares. Yo creo que hay que hacer algo con estos señores que el distrito reventa los tickets, porque si durante no quiten los señores de eso, que hasta las 11, 12 de la noche andan poniendo tickets, la mampleza va para abajo.
The other point is around the businesses. Some businesses have closed, and maybe some are going to close down because the parking enforcement. Thank you. Parking enforcement. They come and they give tickets. Some people come to pick up some food or just buy a soda or buy something quick from the grocery store. They invest. They plan to spend $20, and when they come back out, they come back with $45, $50 tickets. That is not helping us out, and it's pulling Mount Pleasant down. So we got to do something about this, and otherwise Mount Pleasant Street is going to go down. That's it.
Barbara, you're just getting here. You have something you want to say?
We were going to talk about the library tonight. Okay? It's coming. All right. I'd like to make two sentences about the library when we get there. That's it.
Okay.
How long is this meeting, sir?
Till 9.
Until 9.
Phil?
Yeah, again, in the interest of public discussion, this is something that I've heard occasionally from the Latino Association, the complaint about parking. Just, again, open discussion, just back and forth. And I can certainly understand where you're coming from in terms of the signs being incorrect or the street markings being wrong, but in terms of where the parking zones are clearly marked, and people are parking illegally, is it wrong for the government to enforce those regulations?
So let me just back and forth. Let me answer, because we have a long discussion about that.
Let me answer about that. you sure you want to get there? So this is the situation, all right? You are parking. You park your car there, and your meter is going to expire in a minute. And the parking enforcer is hiding behind the corner, and you time out your clock and you stay on the phone and your boss didn't let you go, and you finish the phone call and you go there, you're 3 minutes behind, and you get a ticket a minute after the meter expired. That is wrong. That's harassment. When you see the parking, when you see the parking meter, the parking is expired, flashing, you're going to go to put the money. You're crossing the street to put the money. The parking enforcer is going around, is coming back around, and when they saw you putting the money, and said, no, when I went by, I saw you putting the money, you were late, and I'm going to give you the ticket. That is harassment. When you are parked in the zone where you're supposed to park, you have your sticker. You're supposed to park there for the night. All right? And you're supposed to park there because you're resident. You have a permit to park there. And you get a ticket, that is harassment. So there are tickets that it needs to be enforced, and we are nothing against that. But we are against the harassment, and we are against the no planning in our neighborhood. So the parking implementation, the new parking spots they have put in there, is not favoring our business. So we got to be strategic how those parking meters have been put in there, and we need to rethink how they are done so they can benefit the business, and they cannot be harassment, and they can benefit the residents, and they can benefit the city, because I'm assuming that's how they want to balance the budget. So we are not opposed to that, but just we want to be in a way that is strategic and thoughtful and can help the community move forward.
Great.
This ANC has done a great deal of planning and strategizing about transportation and parking. 3 years ago, we set up an alternative to be studied by the Department of Transportation in a traffic study that the ANC had long lobbied for. And in particular, I'd like to congratulate my colleague and sometimes sparring partner, Jack McKay, for having rabble-roused a great deal to get that money. We proposed an alternative. Karina Ricks, the deputy director for planning, associate director for planning of DDOT, promised us, in the presence of Jonathan Cass, the specialist for Jim Graham, that would be studied. It was not. That plan to be studied, because we don't have the resources to do all the work for this, included a recommendation for loading zones throughout Mount Pleasant with the suggestion of maybe 5 or 15 minutes for people to rush in and rush out. And secondly, we've also included some ideas for gateway garages that could help, and with the addition of temporarily, at least, parking. We also have, and another matter, for the last 4 years, I believe it is, Jack, that we have been pushing a jitney and shuttle system. And a jitney and shuttle system.
Jitney.
Informal taxi.
Thank you.
That would be low price. It appears that $2 a ride might, and they're vans, so you can carry a lot of groceries or kids or other things on a door-to-door service. We came very close to that when the previous director of DDOT said that is a great idea. He is going to make it a high priority, and then he left. We have Jack and I are in serious and time-consuming conversation with a lot of other people now, where we think we may have a way to move forward, even though the city has no money. What we hope for is the mayor and DDOT and others to work with us, start working with us again on that, because a combination of some of these ideas that we have been working on for a long time, we feel have the possibility of solving, because they are general tools of solving a lot of problems that we have now and problems that are likely to arise.
Okay, do we have...
Jack, what is this?
Uh,
Juan Carlos is holding up a permanent visitor's pass. And every household in Mount Pleasant should receive one of those visitor passes, which can be used for visitors to, so that the visitor can park in a residential permit parking zone. That's what those are for. Every house. I'm sorry?
Would that include the co-op buildings and the tenants of the buildings?
What is the definition of household? I'm not sure.
The way this is inquiring minds want to know, and and so I tried to follow up on that and ask how is this being implemented and who decides who gets it. So I talked with Alice Kelly, who is a resident of Mount Pleasant and is also a manager within DDOT, and she said they use the post office list of operating households, those that are getting mail. Their intent was to send out one pass to everybody that is on that list, but also several meetings I've attended, that anyone that is not on that list and can show in regular ways, like they get mail or utility bills or something, to a separate address, then they can get fairly quickly a pass mailed to them.
So these passes have already been mailed out to all the homes and the residents. So if you don't have one, you need to go where?
The best thing to do if you have not received that visitor's pass is to call Damon Harvey at DDOT. I don't have his phone number at hand, but Damon Harvey is the one who is in charge of distributing these to households.
He was saying he didn't have the number at hand.
I have an alternative that Jim Graham's office has said that if you go through the regular procedure and you get delayed, you know, after a couple of weeks, then call their constituent service office. And for that, I have a number, because I give it out to people that want me to do the constituent service all the time. It is 724-8181.
Yeah, I just mentioned that because that's one of the great examples how we can alleviate some of the problems that we have, right?
I just mentioned that because that is some of the little examples that we can improve, some of the punting concerns that we have here, right? I was there when somebody was fixing the bathroom for Alberto's restaurant, got a big ticket, $100 ticket, you know, and so those kind of things can be avoided with this type of little things that we can improve in our community. And just to make sure, I'm not criticizing the work that has been done, but I also just try to enforce the fact that we are here ready to help to make sure that we can get some improvements around this parking issue in our community.
Okay. Do we have any further discussion?
Yes, so on the very brief. I don't know who put the library, relocation of the library together, but whoever it is deserves all kinds of credit, and I hope they get the credit.
Okay. Do we have any further discussion for the commercial corridor? Okay. So do we now, which one do we want to address first? Does the commission agree to do the library and Don Amy? I'm asking the commission, which way do you want to go?
I think the Don Amy resolution will go much more quickly than the library resolution.
I agree.
Okay, Jack.
Okay. Resolved that ANC Wendy advises the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board and the District of Columbia Office of the Attorney General to deal with the voluntary agreement violations by Don Jaime's restaurant reported in case number 09-CMP-00343, with only an admonition to respect the terms of the voluntary agreements in the future without fines.
Can I get a second? Can a question?
Okay. The background is that there was an inspection of Don Jaime's restaurant, and they found several violations of the voluntary agreements. This is being called before the ABC board tomorrow, and we want to ask the board to be merciful and not fine Don Jaime's, if at all possible. He lacked, in particular, the notice of a telephone number to be called in case of a problem. That's all. It was minor things. And it was violations of the voluntary agreements, not of the law, but of the voluntary agreements.
Okay, do the commission have any questions? Phil?
Just for clarification's sake, I think there was also a question of having both voluntary agreements that he's under on file. That was one of the charges against him. I think just for, again, in my work with here Mount Pleasant, we're also writing a letter as we are more or less one of the parties to a voluntary agreement with Don Jaime. We're asking for a similar, we're making a similar statement in terms of the fines that he is potentially going to get for these infractions would be about $1,000, and that is entirely unreasonable. So we've also asked for basically that he should get a warning. Is this the part where we offer friendly amendments?
Feel free.
I'd like to strike this first sentence. I think that the second sentence is clear enough in terms of talking about his issue.
Chuck, I can read it if you need to move to the black.
Let me point out, according to the inspector, Jaime Carrillo thought that he had no voluntary agreements, that the voluntary agreements had been terminated, which of course is not correct. I'm simply trying to argue that this is a misunderstanding, and it was not a willful violation of any regulations.
Okay.
Question is, does the commission want me to remove that statement about?
I'd like to see it left in because I think it deals with the reality of a lot of culture and language gaps.
Thank you. I think it is, even though it may be somewhat maybe perceived as a little bit insensitive, and yet it explains why in many cases we have problems in the conformity to regulations among our immigrant owners.
Is everyone ready for the vote?
Well, then I decline the friendly amendment. Would you like to make it into a formal amendment? He would not. Then yes, let us proceed with the vote on this resolution, please.
All those accepting the resolution as read? 4-0. Resolution passes.
5-0.
Oh, excuse me. That's 5-0. I'm here now. I started out saying 4 for the night. 5-0. Okay. I do apologize, G. Although it could be a compliment, you know. Say that you're slimming down or something, you know.
Yeah. How best
not
we
so, Hyundai.
How best do we proceed now with the Mount Pleasant?
You mean the library now?
Yeah, we're in the library.
Okay.
And I know Dave had a resolution written, and I think Greg has an alternative. How does the commission care to proceed at this point? Which one do you wish to see displayed?
I'd like to see Greg's.
Rather than reading it first, could I ask for a second?
Well, let me make sure that I have the correct one, please. Let me read just the first line, may I?
Sure.
Make sure that we are all on the same, and also for the audio recording.
Yes.
Resolved, ANC 1D, asking Great Weight, advises the Historic Preservation Review Board, the mayor's agent, the mayor, the board, and staff of the DC Public Libraries to heed the following points, and et cetera, et cetera.
I would like to hear from Dave Bosserman with his recommendation that we not read the whole thing and debate it point by point, but adopt it. And he has some cogent reasons for that, I think.
Well, I have a couple questions. Yes, this is quite a collaborative effort. And I want to be assured that you and Faye have worked on this and are in agreement.
Well, I accepted with kudos her work, and I sent her mine and left a message, so I haven't heard from her whether she would accept my half of the deal.
Can you please translate for me to silent cell phones? Thank you.
Jake, I haven't read. Greg and other members of the commission with whom I've spoken today had asked for some assistance, framing the compatibility issue, design compatibility, because that is, that's what we're more accustomed to. And I've done this myself. But kind of the first part of that is something that I worked up from DCPL, from the HPRB official guidelines, which I have here, Guidelines for Historic Buildings, in which they list a number of specific principles. And I just went through in kind of a mechanical way and tried, to characterize what the terminology meant, what a setback is, what orientation is, et cetera, and to describe how that principle is carried out in the library design that we have before us. And so it's there to give you a variety of the issues that are legitimately raised in discussing the design. And I think going through that, and I know that some words are a word was dropped because I was typing a couple things at once, but on colors and materials, there's a couple words dropped at the end of the sentence there. That's number 9. The colors are within the same range, but the arrangement, you could say, is jarring. Is jarring. So, that's, this is something that I provided for your perusal and use if you find it of utility in this context. And to be honest, I have not gone through Greg's 3 pages here. I think we're going to have a better chance with something going to HPRB, anybody, to make it shorter rather than longer. So I think it really should be more focused. But that would just be a general comment.
May I? Dave, go ahead.
I just so people can follow this. This is really 3 parts. One is on the design appearance. The second part, Roman numeral 2, I guess, is on what is ADA again? American Disability Act, I guess, access design, in other words, handicapped access. And then three is on the process used and community involvement. Is that the way it is?
Yes, because in reading the transcript, it becomes clear. I distributed a copy to everybody. And that there's a huge story in how long it took to get them. What I tried to do is, well, the board was, shall we say, dubious of the DCPL's claim that they had followed all the process rules, and the end result was that a majority of the neighborhood wanted their design. And it was also dubious, and which is point four, the points under point four here, is that about whether the programmatic need for this large addition, which is essentially entirely a meeting room and staff space, whether that had been justified. And so they wanted comment on that. And the explanation of why they could delve into the programmatic element was this, as Church said, and you'll find it in the transcript towards the end. Number one, they have to decide first whether the overall scheme fitted their definition as a, what is the term? There's a single word that you...
Compatibility?
Yeah, compatible.
Yeah.
And, compatible. And then they were also, they asked a lot of questions about the access ramp and saying whether that, because just like the Commission on Fine Arts was, the majority of them, of the commissioners, were dubious about the ramp, as we have been throughout this. So were they. And so they wanted more specifics. They didn't ask the library for more specifics on it, but they simply questioned it. Then they said that if they determine that it is incompatible, then they would move to the second prong of the fork, which is by law they can make, and the board can initiate this on their own hook, of whether there are functional needs to modernize or to change the structure. Because D.C. law, as Tim DeNave, our Ward 1 historian, has told me, our law is a little different in D.C. It's not just compatibility, but there is an encouragement when it's needed to change the structure to fit the new needs. And so they would go to the second prong of that if it was decided, if they decided that it was compatible, well, then they did not need to do the second review. Most of their questions dealt with the second issue. And it gave me a sense, and I'd like to have Faye talk about this. It gave both me and ANC Commissioner for Adams Morgan, Chris Otten, a sense that they were quite unconvinced by the compatibility, number one, and they were quite unconvinced by the rationale for this particular programmatic extension. Now, in discussing with our lawyer, Rob Waldeck, he has strongly, and he's creating a kit to be distributed, of how we go about getting our resolutions answered. Part of this is because of Gottlieb Simon saying that there is an ANC with a trial lawyer as the chair that turns in resolutions in the form of appeal court briefs. And they have had no problem in getting all of their resolutions, essentially all of them, accepted. So here you see an example of the recommended approach where there are numbered points. They're clustered. for intelligibility, so there's not just, you know, 30 points, but they're clustered for intelligibility so that we maintain the previous style, which has a narrative element, with the listing, because by law, if they don't answer every single point with specificity from the vantage point of the ANC with superior evidence, then the courts will remand it automatically back to the agency for redoing.
Phil?
Point of order. You mentioned that Rob Waldeck had offered legal guidance on the library issue.
Yes.
My understanding was that we had retained him to work on the legal brief with regard to the ANC's standing in relation to the Don Juan's restaurant and carryout ABC here.
Yes, but we had authorized before $5,000 for legal help, including a couple thousand for the library issue. And so before doing this, I talked to a couple of commissioners before doing this.
Dave?
Well, it's being late. I would suggest that the one loss of words in that paragraph 9 of the first part, but the arrangement is jarring, I think we could fix that. I would suggest that we just put this forward at this time. This is, in a sense, an experiment on several fronts. And I know I could change a lot of words in here, but I'm not going to at this point. It's a little Dickinsonian in some places, I don't know. But why don't we just push it forward as is, because we don't want to sit here and micromanage this.
Jack?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. I understand that this has been worked out in collaboration with Faye and therefore with Historic Mount Pleasant, and that's, for me, a very strong endorsement, even though this is like those complaints about legislators in the Senate. Have you read every word of that bill? I don't think so. But I do want to ask about this word lights, L-I-T-E-S. Is that correct?
Yeah, right above you, Jack, there are
16 over 2 light windows. That's what it means. Term of art
in architecture. That's what I was questioning. It's a term of architecture. I don't know where our microphone is going.
No, it's here. It's here with me. It's...
The answer is that L-I-T-E-S is correct. So I won't make it L-I-G-H-T-S.
Good. I just want to caution something on this program issue. Yes, at the hearing the other day, we did have, in particular, one of the new architect members of the HPRB, who picked up on the program issues, teachers at Howard and stuff like that. He says, well, you know, this is what I tell my students and everything. But he was quickly shut off by the chairman, who said, no, we don't get into program here. That is not our concern. So I think that, you know, really what HPRB will, and they're very... the gunshot, I mean, it's that word with respect to ADA issues. So I think that really our strongest go to them to push back on the library and get some desirable changes is really to stick as closely to the design issues and leave a lot of these other things out. I think they will get lost in the shuffle and could encourage the chairman maybe to give serious attention to the parts of the resolution that really speak to what they're going to be looking at.
Phil?
I have to ask if it's okay for me to ask two questions of Faye at this time so she could respond directly.
Sure.
The first is, when is this hearing?
The next HPRB hearing is the fourth Thursday in the month.
So it would be 2 days after our next regular business meeting.
Right. Now, Greg raised this, attempted to get the chairman to give you all more time. And when he, well, I'm speaking for Greg now, but no, the 13th was a very deliberately set date that was knowingly set in advance of your coming meeting.
Okay, and the second question that I have is, I think I had heard you say this, but I'm not sure if you meant it or not. This document, this is the first time you've seen it in its four-page entirety.
That's correct.
You helped with the initial draft, but much has been added since you worked on it. Would you say that Historic Mount Pleasant would endorse this document?
Not the entire document.
May I?
Greg?
We have a difference in recollections because the Tersh did speak about the program elements at the end when he laid out the logic of it, and and said that then they would get into the program element as part of their legal duties if they decided against it. But the transcript is available, and after the meeting, I spoke with another one of the newer board members, and I think he was very interested in hearing a lot more about the details of things. That board member told me that he had asked, he has been following this stuff for a while, and he said that this is the first time that anybody has ever gotten an extension, and we should take this as a great compliment. Next, the chair ruled that nobody will be able to speak or testify on this on their hearing on the 20th or 22nd, and therefore everything must be in writing by noon on the 13th.
Dave?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect the Mount Pleasant Historic, what's the name?
Historic Mount Pleasant.
Historic Mount Pleasant, sorry, I'm a member. I wouldn't expect them to actually even look at the second two parts of this. They would only look at the first part, which are the design elements. So certainly they wouldn't pass judgment on the other two parts.
Okay, are we ready to vote on this resolution, Phil?
Well, to your point. As I understand Craig's supposition that if the HPRB does not respond to every single point in this document, then it could be overturned in a court of law, then we certainly have a responsibility to make sure that what we are sending to them are things that they can and would respond to.
Okay, I make a motion that we close the discussion on this. Okay, I don't get a second, so I guess the discussion. Okay, thank you. Are we ready to take the vote now? All those that are in agreement that we should put this resolution through as is? Yes, the first one. Okay, we got 4 yes and Phil, no. Okay.
Jack, you didn't get that one missing word section on number 9.
I took that as a friendly amendment.
Okay.
It's 9 o'clock.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Bless you.
Yay.
Meeting stands adjourned at 9 p.m. exactly. 9:00. Thank you.
You're on a tight meeting. While people are filing out, I want to thank the excellent collaboration we had. And Faye's original draft was quite different, and we discussed it, and she came up with some marvelous new material. Just really marvelous.
Precious and you scared. I've never seen you before. What? night. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
Okay.
We're getting better turnout. Well, I called him a couple hours ago and said, you know, aren't you okay? He said he had forgotten about me.
Oh, he was joking.
Well,
I'm assuming what you have here was written in
sort of thing which they will pay attention to.
Well, I urge you to find the written standards, because to find the written standards, because hand waving on opinion will not cut it.
No, no. But they will look at that and say, gee, you guys know what they're talking about. Because they speak our language.
Yes, and quoting their standards. And because it is their standards, we will have a better chance in appeals court.
It will be interesting.
Well, we'll see. You know, this is a continual learning.